gracious God of faithfulness, I look ahead with fearfulness, afraid that somehow you'll forget. My needs will grow and be unmet. Why do I dare to think this thought of him by whom my soul is bought? My
Father gives. Hello, welcome to Only God Rescued Me, my journey from satanic ritual abuse. I'm Lisa Meister, your host, and we are bringing back to you Cardia Joy. Welcome back, Cardia.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Happy to have you, Cardia. If you have not caught up on her before, she has a beautiful album out called Piano Festo, and she has it available on Spotify. She also has it for free on YouTube. So everything's in the show notes. Go buy it to encourage her and to bless her with all the work she's doing. Go on YouTube, subscribe, listen to what she has to say. Not only is she blessed with this incredible creative gifting from the Lord, but she is chronicling her healing journey and how God comes into it. And so she's going through her songs, and it's great ministry to hear how God ministered to you, and you're sharing it with us. And I know the listeners, so many people are reaching out saying, oh, this was perfect. This hit me right where I needed it today. So thank you for sharing this.
And that's so ministering to me. I want your listeners to know that it is so ministering to me, because in these trials that we go through, we feel so isolated. I think one of the comments had referenced that isolation that happens. And I think the enemy just works so hard to make sure that we feel like we're the only ones suffering, or that we did something to deserve all of this, and that even healing or anything is just in vain. It doesn't matter, you know, or who cares if we even exist. And I have my own deep, deep ongoing struggles, and to be ministered to by the comments. And I want your listeners to know that to receive what God has done in my life, if it can pour out and be an encouragement and blessing to others, that ministers to me so, so much more than they can know.
So. We suffer through the abuse in isolation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We do not have to suffer through healing in isolation.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yes.
And hearing where other people were when they're in the same spot where we are now, I think is very encouraging. I'm not alone in this. I was alone in the hurt I went through. I am not alone with how I'm feeling, with how I am dealing with maybe even my struggles with God right now. I am not alone in that. And we're coming along each side each other and saying, I hear you. I see you. I understand. And that's the beauty of your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beauty of the calling God has given to you. And it's the impactful power that you have in coming alongside survivors in the gift that you're giving and sharing your healing with them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's super encouraging. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
What song do you have for us today?
Yeah, so the next one in the album is Discovering Faithfulness. I think this is the only one that kind of jumps back on the timeline. So last episode of this, I think it was where I talked about the sequence of a lot of these were in sequence of my healing, but this one actually does, I think, is the one that does jump back to before God had really begun to really reveal how much of my story was so much deeper and worse than I had ever dreamed. This was written in 2010, and we had come through a really tough time at the time. As I was thinking about this song, I was like, compared to everything else I've been through since then, I look at that and I was like, oh, that wasn't even that hard, but it was really, really hard at the time. My husband had gone through a really unfair situation, an unjust situation that led to unemployment, and that went on almost a year. And he had been part of a large Christian ministry. And some things had just gone really, really against him. And we learned a lot through that. We took the approach of what do we need to learn through this? And just as the, especially as the years went on, we just wanted to own anything that we needed to learn. But we were a bit younger at that point, you know, and just had a lot to learn too. So, and yet there was a very unjust factor to that. And I watched the people who had caused this go on to quote unquote thrive. They got the promotions, they got the easier life, and we were trying to figure out how to put food on the table for our children. And through that time, I saw God provide for our needs in ways I desperately needed to see. One of the things that had happened as I was growing up is that my parents really enjoyed dominating and talking a lot. And so we would have people over and they would tell stories of what they said God had done. Now, if you know and pick up on some of my story, my parents are not real true believers in Jesus Christ, but they want a big strong front of being very religious. And so we had a lot of people come through our home and I would hear them tell these stories over and over. And I began to realize as I got older, it was like, you tell the same story over and over and over. And then the stories started growing. They were becoming fish stories. And I think I was 20, 22, something like that. And I called my mom out on it. It's like, that's not what happened. It's not the way it was. And she laughed me off. So those were some pieces that I, over time, began to realize, you're not honest. And why don't you ever have a fresh story of God's faithfulness? Does God not do anything? Was it only when I was 5? God did things. Why do you keep telling me stories over and over? And my heart began to hunger. I wanted to see God move in my life. Another hard part of my story is that I was not allowed to do anything with my life but get married. I was never once asked ever what I wanted to do with my life. I existed to do everything for my parents, and I wasn't allowed to do anything until I married. So in the providence of God, in this beautiful story, God brought my husband to me. And we didn't even know he was rescuing me, but he was, and I was 26. So long haul of me waiting on God, not understanding the very, very, awful situation I was in. A lot more of that has come together over the years. So, starting back about then, I had begun to have that hunger to see God move on my behalf. And my parents always kept me very silenced. And they always dominated. They just, if I began to find, you know, to try to even have my own life in any way. Again, I was in my 20s, you know, but I wasn't allowed to make any choice, any decision. So that's like a whole other story. But here I was. Not that many years later. It was a few years down the road, but here we were. And I was by this time thinking, because I'm married and now we have children, now things should be getting better and life should be getting better. And instead, here my husband lost his job. We lost the life that we had. And so the bitterness of soul, I just was so bitter of soul and despondent, because this is when it really began to challenge my thinking on my view of God, that if you follow his commands and if you do the right things, then he needs to take better and better care of you. I mean, that sounds like prosperity gospel, right? But even the churches I was in would never talk about prosperity gospel or any of that. But not, I hope it makes sense. It just wasn't lining up. It was like, if I had sinned, if I'd really done something, then I could understand our life falling apart, but why would God allow this? So I really went through a very, very, very dark valley. A lot of things had really, really, really thrown me. I had miscarried a baby. Just a just a couple years earlier that had really devastated me. And I just was finding that people want to be friends, especially in the church. People want to be friends with the rich people. Well, we were never rich, but we were also really not rich now. And so it's funny how if people get tired of you hurting and tired of the prayer request and tired of the neediness. So deep, deep valley. And then the heartache of watching these other people that had caused us to land in this situation, thriving. So I remember driving one day. I was driving out in the country, and God really just really spoke to my heart. And I was thinking, I don't think that I felt the freedom much at that point to let God speak to my heart. It was the only, I wasn't raised in a tradition where you let God speak to you. We talk technically about the Holy Spirit, but there's no, it's just, he's a good chapter in one of your Sunday school books was, you know, kind of what it was. But if in reality, in fact, then that would go back to my upbringing too. Every time I would say, God's really laying this on my heart. They would always say, well, now's not a good time. Now I know they were using me for things. Yeah, of course it wasn't a good time for you, you know? So I had a jumpiness in my walk with God because it was like, I need to be able to prove it to these, theologian cops, if I'm allowed to say that God laid something on my heart. So for God to minister to me as I'm driving somewhere and speak to me was kind of like, are we allowed to let this happen? And he just really spoke to me about forgiving those people for what they had done. He said, you need to give them to me. I was like, I can't. And he said, I want you to give them to me. I was like, but you need to punish them. I'm suffering and they're fine. Look at that. Would you just give them to me? Would you give them to me? And it was a battle in my heart, but I surrendered them to him. And that turned a corner for me in a really important way. And I wanted to, again, I wanted to see God do something on our behalf that would make up for all this bad that happened to us. I was looking for something good to happen. And instead the weeks, the months went on. It was a really hard time. And I was so discouraged, and I had a pastor tell me I wasn't thankful. And he came over to our house, confronted me. I don't even remember what he was confronting me about. It was so ridiculous. There was another situation I was crying out for help with, and he said, you're so ungrateful. I said, thank you for everything you've done for us, and I meant it. And he stormed out of my house and he said, I appreciate you. But he walked out there, you can't make this stuff up. So that, I mean, I was just like in everywhere I turned, I was just so discouraged, trying to keep my head above water, and just thing after thing. And during that time, the Lord really began to just whisper to my heart. And I looked it up this morning. I was like, I don't know that I've ever looked up where it was. I knew the verse, but I didn't know where it was. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I slumped my shoulders. I was like, and I told God, I don't want to be stronger. I want you to save me. I'm tired. Don't tell me that. I want you to save me. And he would just so gently speak to my heart. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he just kept repeating it to me. And I will tell you that, years later, I was like, oh my word, you knew I needed that. You knew I had to strengthen my hope in you, because what I was going through was hard. Some of my friends have still never gone through what I went through at that point. And I had so much more to process and discover and find out why my heart had always been in pain. So it was in that context that I wrote this song. And I also, with this song, you can tell in the lyrics the difference in my walk with God at that point. During that season, another thing that began to wake me up to who my parents really were, my dad called one morning and I was really despondent. And he said, "How are you guys doing?" And I said, and I basically quoted, didn't even realize I was doing it, but I was basically quoting the Psalms, just saying, "Life is horrible. I don't know where God is. I don't understand." And he barked back at me, "Don't you talk about God that way." And I thought, speak for yourself. I'm the one going through a really hard thing. And I got off the phone and my husband has been such a support to me through all of this. I'm very thankful for him. And I cried, sobbed on his chest. And I just was, he let me do to him what I was doing to God. I just beat on his chest. I said, if I can't tell God how I'm struggling, then what kind of God is he? Is he here for me? He's allowed me to go through this. Where is he? Why isn't he showing up?" And I began to register whatever view I had of God was not coming from the Bible. And I began to register, I was praying, speaking Psalms. Don't shut me up. You always did that. If I cried, I wasn't allowed to cry, wasn't allowed to be emotional. I had to always be put together, always be fine. And I was grieving as a teen. There had been horror done to me. There were reasons I was crying, but no, she's just emotional. They knew what they had done to me. They knew what they had done to me. And so these years later, as I'm an adult woman now, and you're telling me, don't talk to God that way. Well, I'm suffering, but if I believe what God has said, then I need to be able to tell him, I hate this suffering. Show up for me, please. And so in the tone of this song, I would just ask listeners to understand that this was written when God was still very distant and I had to be jumpy around him as though he's, speaking of emotional and volatile, you know, if you don't come to God with the right wording, who knows what he's going to do to us? You know, if we cry out, he just needs our performance. I didn't realize that's how much, that's how I'd really had understood him to be. And that had been drilled into me, fear God, fear God, fear God, fear God. And you see that in the Bible, but the way that had been conveyed to me really needed healing. So as people hear this song, I would just ask that you understand that there's some lyrics. I don't know how to change the song in the sense, but there were nuggets. The reason I went ahead and shared this song on the album was because there were elements that where my heart was emerging into a place of safety with God. And I want to highlight those phrases because I did cry out. And in fact, God wasn't the one angry with me. My earthly father was the one telling me that God couldn't handle me. My dad couldn't handle the consequence of his sins against me. God knew all of that. And he was inviting me. "What do you really feel, honey? What? It's in there." He already knew what I was feeling. He already knew the grief. He knew the questions and the doubts that I had about him that I hadn't even yet discovered. And that's what I felt like I was writing about in this song. So it opens with, "Oh, gracious God of faithfulness, I look ahead with fearfulness, afraid that somehow you'll forget. My needs will grow and be unmet." My needs, there was no reason that my needs were not met as a child. My dad was an executive. There was no reason that I should have had some things withheld. So that dad view, that the father I had, highly affected my view of God, and that God was stingy too. God would take good care of himself, but you know, I just felt like he was forgetting me. I really felt like, pardon me. Well, I felt like God was going to forget me. And yet I read so much, I would read a lot of scripture and would hang on to that. So I was trying to reconcile what I would read with what I was experiencing. And so you can hear the fear in me. I think in the lyrics, you can hear the fear in me. But I was really trying to tap into the promises that I was finding in scripture. So the next part says, why do I dare to think this thought of him by whom my soul is bought? And so I knew there, it was like, I had the smallest grasp that Jesus had bought me at a price. And so I was terrified of him because I'd been taught to be terrorized by God. But there was also that little part of me that was like, why would I dare to think this thought if he loved me and he bought me? Like, so a lot more fear behind that phrase than there is now. I mean, I have, I believe, a very healthy fear of God, but a comfort. I feel like I know him better. And I reference that here in this song too. The next part says, my father gives no stones for bread or snake for fish. So why then dread? So it's like, I was talking myself through this. Why would I dread if he says he doesn't do that? Why am I going to dread? And that next part really was me starting to tiptoe into, is he maybe not like I understood he was? I dread because I don't know you. I don't really know you. I like to call God Papa because it helps me. My dad was never a Papa to me. So Papa is my Papa God. So sometimes I pray to him that way. I dread because I don't know you. It's not because your words aren't true. I fear because I've trusted lies, and the lies, they seem so wise. But fools will follow their own way. The wise will live by what you say. I'll trust and walk by faith towards you and know you will lead me through. I was really speaking the courage that I wanted to find. I was so afraid. And we had some really, really close calls through that time. It was such a hard, hard season. The shame, I would run into these people that had done this to us, and the shame, the embarrassment was profound. And I just wanted to hide. I didn't want to be seen. And I surely wanted God to defend us and do something to restore our life. And so I was trying to find courage, find how to go forward in life when my dreams had been crushed and the way things were supposed to go were not happening. And I'd like to share another side story from that time before I continue with these words. There was a 1 month where I didn't know how we were going to pay our mortgage. And, it was another time that I went further and deeper with God than I ever had. And we had to pay our mortgage and we didn't have it. And that stirred up all the feelings of abandonment and despondency and anger. I was so angry that we had landed in that situation. So my husband and I were sitting at the table and just so discouraged. I mean, this had been months and months into this. So we're battle weary. And now we don't know how to pay the mortgage. We were running out. We went through so many things. Oh, it's just thing after thing. And so I remember I was so angry and I threw my Bible onto the table and I said, you're the one who made these promises. You made the promises. I didn't make them up. So you had better deliver on it. I don't have another God to trust. I have nowhere to turn. So don't taunt me with your promises. Do you mean it or not? How am I supposed to believe in a God I can't trust? I can't go around being your PR if you're not going to deliver on it. I'm done with that. And it was bitterness of soul. That was my prayer. Went about our day. The next day, I opened the mail and someone had sent us a check within a penny of what we needed for the mortgage. And I bawled my eyes out. And then I kind of come to God, like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And now I think of his compassion. They don't fail. His compassion doesn't fail. And I think how he saw me was not how I saw me and how I perceived his care to be. And what that did for my heart here, I'm getting my own stories, my stories. This is my God stories. Hated the situation I was in, hated it. Horrible, long, painful. And yet story after story, a bag of groceries on our front porch. And, that one though, that mortgage payment, that was the one that just captured my heart, that God heard me. And the thing that struck me about it was he had prompted the person before I cried out.
Wow.
Because wasn't put in the mail the day that I was crying. It was before that. And that won my heart. Oh, like that he had heard me before I cried out. He already knew the need was that bad, and he provided. And so that really touches on where the song goes and the comfort that God began to give me. So the next portion says, "Oh, gracious God of faithfulness, I look ahead with gratefulness." And that was, I would say, I was realizing I could thank God before the answer. And that's something I've really been working on, because I'm going through some really serious stuff right now. And I'm thanking God. Thank you for how you're going to keep helping me. Thank you that you're going to protect me. Thank you. There was a time in my life I needed to stop doing that thanking, because it was kind of a, like, forcing myself to do something to earn God's favor. And so there was a time that I learned to just kind of rest in God, and I needed to do that. I had done enough striving, cease striving, and know that I am God. I didn't need to strive. He had me. But that has become a place of thankfulness. So I've kind of gone through these times where I felt like he really is calling me to just, can you trust that I'm going to deliver for you? Because I said I would, and I'm going to keep my word. I'm not like your dad. I take care of you. I keep my word. That's just a side note that I have really found joy in, because he's built my trust over time. It's taken a long time, but the thankfulness in my heart. So I'm going to go back. Oh, gracious God of faithfulness, I look ahead with gratefulness, assured that as I trust in you, you'll provide like you said you do. And the phrase that I don't really agree with myself on now is that he doesn't provide because I trust, but he's going to provide because he committed himself to me. He committed himself to me. So it's his faithfulness the whole time. And he understands my flailing and my agony and the doubts and the reasons I have my doubts, you know? So that's the wording I had at that time. And I hadn't figured out how to reword that. If anybody wants to throw out a phrase, I'm happy to fix that. So all of you, let me know what you think. What comes to you? Oh, gracious God of faithfulness, I look ahead with gratefulness, assured that as I trust in you, you'll provide like you said you'd do. So ask, I will, and seeking, find. In knocking now, I learn your mind. I find you're faithful every time. Your word is true. I'll make it mine. I wanted it to be mine. I wanted to be able to say, this is mine. Like I lost so much over and over. I've had to lose so many things, people, many things. I've had to lose a lot of things, and especially as my story has unfolded, I've lost even more. You know, I've had a lot of loss. But I don't lose him. That's when in my songs, when I talk about he's mine and I don't lose him, that to me is precious. If ever I want to be a captive, I want to be a captive of him. I want to know I'm secure. It's not a threatening captive. It's like, I belong because a lot of the belonging has been taken from me so many times over. I trust you as I learn of you. I trust because your words are true. I was knocking on it. It's like, can I trust this? Can I bank everything on this and find it to be true? I trust you as I learn of you. I trust because your words are true. I wait to see what you will do. And I love this. That's like my favorite phrase. I hope because you told me to. You told me to hope. So if you told me to hope, I'm going to hope. And I'm going to count on the fact you're going to deliver because you said it. And if you're always faithful, then if you promise that you're going to take care of me, you're going to do it. And it isn't always the way, the way I would expect. It's not that my life is beautiful and everything's come together, because it hasn't. Like I said, I've got my own suffering I'm going through right now. But I am, what's carrying me through the things I'm going through now and these last many years now of this healing I've been going through, is I'm going to hope because you told me to. Until your answers come to be, please be patient, Lord, with me. Help me learn to trust in you. Win my heart. I love that phrase. Got that from a friend. Win my heart. Help me love you. I love you as I learn of you. I love that you know what to do. I love that you're so big and great that I can try to appreciate, never fully grasp your mind. Your depth so deep I cannot find, but in my simple helplessness, I discover your faithfulness. So that is the song as a whole. And I've had so much healing in my view of God. I feel like he's taken me by the hand very gently over and over. Let's go look at how you look at me. You've been told that I'm this way, and I know that that's been very misrepresented. So it's like through even the things I'm going through right now, he's showing me his faithfulness to address some of the old wounds that still hinder my walk with him. I wanted to share what goes around the passage that he had given to me. Like I said, I didn't remember where it even was. I didn't know if I'd even looked it up. But Isaiah 41:10 is where it says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So just looked it up in preparation for today. And what struck me was right before that, he says, fear not. And the reason we don't have to be afraid is because he says, I am with you. Fear not. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this next part is part of what I'm going through. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. And further on, I am the one who helps you. Later it says, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers on the bare heights. I mean, it's just so beautiful that he even gave that word to me today. I needed that today. Like today I needed that to not be afraid. I'm so thankful that he entrusted that portion of my story to me. I would never have chosen to go through that, and we did learn some things. There was some maturing that my husband and I needed to go through, but even in that, God was so gracious. And actually, ironically, the department my husband was a part of, we're talking a large department. I don't know for sure how many people were in there, but I'm talking sub-departments within the department. The thing doesn't even exist anymore. It's gone. It's gone. And so my husband had comforted me several times too. Like he said, I think God was delivering us. Actually, I know that we viewed that as such a embarrassing time in our lives and things. A lot of our friends were thriving. They were getting the promotions, and here we were the opposite. But he was preparing me, and I do remember just being so touched as I realized that God knew that he had to unpack a lot with me on why I had the memories, the scars, all the things that I have and had. I was going to need to not be walking with God in that fearful place of, I just kind of feel like a mousy place. Like I'm nothing. And it's interesting to me how much God, wants survivors to see their value, that we need to see our value. We are overcomers. We are powerful through the blood of the Lamb. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And people, and I find especially in my journey, I've found a lot of highly spiritual people to be very demeaning when I start talking about how God is helping me and where I find courage and talk with confidence. Boy, it's the spiritual leaders and stuff trying to shut me up and condescending, and it's all about Jesus. Like I cited in another one, Revelation 3:9, Jesus is all about me, and that I glorify him by living in his strength. He's the one who told me he was going to strengthen me. So he's made me strong. He's going to help me. I am helped. He's upholding me. I'm not standing alone. One of the situations I'm going through right now, I've got a very, very badgering, difficult situation I'm going through. And one of the things I'm learning to do is just allow myself to feel the presence of Jesus there with me. So this person is causing a lot of trouble in my life. And I'm like, however, there are far more with me than those that are against me. I think I referenced that concept in a song that I have yet to put out. Yes, I don't think that song's on this album. That there are more who are with me than those who are against me. And that's citing the, if you can help me remember which passage, I don't remember. I always get confused if it's Elijah or Elisha, but when.
Me too. So I think it's Elijah, but it was probably Elisha since I said
I always get it backwards.
Yeah. It would have been Fred, it would have been much easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But I love how God said that, you know, he was going to use you in music.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy has come against you over and over and over. He's come at you constantly through your life. And God's turning each one of those into this powerful ministry of song for you. And it's just so incredible to watch with you. And now I'm your friend, which I still can't believe that happened. I'm just like so blessed by it. And I'm seeing that in you where you're finding God. It's like, you know, you're hurt and you don't understand what's going on or why, but you find God in that situation. You attach it to scripture and you hang on with everything you got. The enemy is so angry. And I know that. And it's funny watching it because he thinks he's got you again. And you come out of it with this glorious song. Yes. And the enemy looks terrible every single time. It's the way that history has been going,
because
the devil is the prince of this world. He has been given a lot of authority down here, but we have the word of God and we have the promises of God. And as we start standing up stronger and stronger into understanding what those promises are and calling on them, and as we start getting back to Jehovah Jireh is my provider. And
that's
who you are calling on for that mortgage.
Yes.
You are my provider. I need this mortgage bill paid. He's like, oh, here's a check in the mail. The exact amount. There is no way that's anything but Jehovah Jireh sending you that check in the mail.
Yes.
Hear those stories from a lot of different people. There's no way this is coincidental. That is God coming down. So it's not that we're just here getting swayed by the enemy all over the place. God is here. He is intervening on our behalf in powerful ways. The enemy has been coming in.
Yeah.
God says he raises a standard. So wherever you see the enemy coming in, God's going in and he's raising a banner there. Yeah. He said, this is my place of battle right here. I'm battling for you. And there's a huge battle going on and it hurts. It hurts like crazy because, you know, I'm going through it too right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going through it really bad. But God is raising. It's like there is a battle right here in my house and we're fighting it. And God's coming through in mighty ways.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting here like, whoa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because God is faithful. He is always faithful. He's faithful in the home of Cardia. He's faithful in the home of Lisa. And he is faithful and will show himself faithful to everyone who will allow him to. So I think that growth of trust is essential as we allow him to work. Because if we're terrified of him, there's only so much he can do because he doesn't want to he doesn't want to scare us. You know, like if we're here just trembling, he's not going to come real close. You know, he's going to stay at a respectful distance. And it's like, it's okay. You know, I love you. And he's just going to show himself from a distance that he's safe. And then as we can take him from that distance, he'll come a step closer and show himself safe and a step closer. And he does that. He's so gentle because he knows how hurt we are. He knows how the enemy has come in. He understands that fractured spirit that we've had.
Yes.
And he's here to heal it.
Yeah, we really do have reason. This will sound like, but we have reason to doubt him because especially in SRA, that was intended to warp our view of him. And it did. And granted, you know, I did remember a lot for a long time, but it all came together. He understands more than we can even understand. I don't think in our lifetime we'll really understand just how much he understands how broken we are and how our view of him is so broken. And so where the enemy does come in like a flood, and it is intended to really harm us. I have seen as I do come back to, I don't know what you're going to do. And I'm really scared. I'm terrified. And I've got reason to, it's not just me being like a wimp or a worry board. I've got serious stuff, but, that he's revisiting some things with me. To show me a different outcome and really going that back to that strengthening me with a tenderness. And I just feel so much that survivors need to be very gentle with themselves. Very, 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 very gentle with themselves and patient. It needs to be, but this is not something that we can fix overnight. It's not a decision we make that we're going to just, now I'm going to trust God and I'm not gonna doubt him, because again, the things that we've been through really did affect even our subconscious, our parts, you know, of us, and that the experiences he gives us, he wants to heal. So I'm experiencing that even this week. I've had some things happen that kind of took my breath away that I didn't think could happen, where I saw him defend me and help me. And I was like, ooh, I've been praying for that, but I've got my armor on and I'm in battle mode and just able to sit and cry and thank him and say, wow, you advocated for me. Thank you. Thank you. And then another swing comes from another direction. And so I remember one of the things I hang on to a lot is Psalm 77 references remembering. I wrote a song from that. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I'll ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. And how often God wished that Israel would remember what he had done for them, because remembering gives us hope. Now, remembering can be really hard for survivors too, because we do remember where it feels like he didn't come through. Especially, I think, especially for children, you know, it's a hard thing to work through. But as I look back and see how he was faithfully rescuing me, I remember, and that remembering gives me courage. Okay, if you've always come through, why would you run out now? Why would, and I can see that more for others. I find that some of the people I'm really close to and I'm really hurting for, I just, as I pray for them, I'm like, there's no way God can abandon you. Like, he can't. Why would he quit now? But to even hear myself say that about me, like, oh, and I've been growing and learning that that's for me too, for me as well, you know, that he doesn't run out. I always am so afraid I'm going to ask too much. It's going to be one request too much. I've met my prayer request quota, because people get tired of us hurting. We run out with them, but his love does not run out, and his capacity, he's pursuing us. I think even the things I'm going through right now, I had asked him, I wanted to grow and just change from the way I had been in that place of fear. And so these things I'm facing, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I can see how that's an answer to prayer, because once again, I'm getting more courageous. I'm getting stronger. And so he's answering my prayers in so many ways. And it's always easier to talk about in hindsight, you know, than when we're in the mess of it.
Absolutely. But he is, I mean, you look at where we were. Mm. And you look at how he has grown us and how he just keeps at it. He doesn't, okay, come on. You guys should have been over this. I would do this to myself. Lisa, you should be over this by now. What is the matter with you? If you were just a strong enough Christian, you should be just fine. Stop it, right? I do that to myself always. He's never done that to me. Mm-hmm. He always comes to me with, Lisa, it's okay. Just breathe. Just sit here. You don't, you know, and he tells me sometimes, don't pray. Don't talk to me. Just sit with me. Just be with me. You don't have to be doing anything. And I'm like, really? You just want to sit with me? Like, what does that show? He just loves me. I'm not here to perform for him. Right? It's like, I'm supposed to be praising. I'm supposed to be praying. I'm supposed to be asking something for somebody, right? I'm supposed to be doing spiritual warfare. He wants me just to sit.
Awesome. He really cares for us. Yeah. And I'm finding I'm just more and more leery of the people who put these requirements on me. One thing, they can't even grasp what I've been through, and then put themselves in this place of telling me, yeah, that you shouldn't be hung up on your past. I'll laugh at him. The irony is that the people who do that to me, I've spent way too much time listening to them bemoan, sorry, normal life stuff, but I'm supposed to just get over. I can tell.
My thing is like, let me just tell you one of my memories. Just one.
Exactly. Let's think about that. And I know that they don't even realize they don't have the strength for, they cannot fathom how much God has been with me, enabling me to make this look way easier than it is. He is not putting requirements on us. That's what I want to be clear about, is that I think that survivors in particular need to be very protective of themselves as well, because people are so eager to put things on us. I had, and requirements of what we need to do to especially please God, excuse me, you need to spend some time with him, because that's not what he is saying. Remember, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And just before I began to God began to unveil more of my backstory, I had always, that the verse had been drilled into me by my mom, drilled in, that every single thing I ever would desire was going to be hell-bent. And careful what you want, because God will give it to you. So scared to ask him for anything. And just so much warping of scripture and making me out to be, I think, what her own heart was. And so it was always guard my heart against all these endless, endless evil motives that I had. And it was just like Jesus kind of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, you're precious and you need to guard your heart, because people are trying to take advantage of your very precious heart. Guard your heart, out of it flows the issues of life. And that just turning that verse on its head was really, really, really powerful for me. And I, because our dignity has been taken from us so many times, countless times, and there's the mental torture and all of it that comes with it. It's so hard to have confidence or belief that we're lovable. And I just want to bless survivors out there to be gentle with themselves and patient in the journey, because God is patient. He does not have these deadlines on us. Like, hurry up and finish your test, or, you know, I'm just going to have to give you a bad grade. It's not how he is. He knows better than we do. He understands far better than we do the brokenness and the depth and the complexity to our brokenness, and how much it's going to take to heal us thoroughly. And he doesn't do half healing. He just is very patient, faithful to make sure that the depth of all of it comes to healing. And it'll take a lifetime. I know that there's just so many things I've been through, but it's
long. Yeah. Mine was long, really.
Yeah.
20 years. I had someone said, I don't think it should have taken you that long. And I'm like, I know it shouldn't have.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
I don't know why it did. I'm slow, but, you know, still healing. You know, but because God's meticulous.
Yeah, yes, that's word.
Because of the depth of love that he has, that he wants us to be completely free of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the love of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants us free of all of it. Now, I would look at someone and go, I think you're functional now. Go for it.
You know? Right. Right.
No, let's not put you through anymore. Just go, you know, just go do the best you can. You know. But God's like, I love you so much. And I know this hurts, but I'm going to be as gentle as I can about it. And if it takes us forever, we're just going to do this because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that. And there's still stuff that pops up. I'm like, all right, how are we going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't care how much it hurts. Let's get it out. And I'll be, you know, I can still be a crying mess, or, you know, it's like, here we go again. All right. But it doesn't last as long as it used to.
Yeah, and that progress is
helpful. It's not as much of a punch as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of that is that trust in God.
Yeah. That,
okay, God, you know, he reveals something to me. It's like, all right, God, how do we do it? Instead of, oh no, this is going to keep that. You know, go right into the panic, then go right into, let's negotiate this. Are you sure we have to go in here? Maybe we could do this another way. You know, and then you start all the wheeling and dealing, or anything, get out of it, or get, you know, I used to get so busy, so then I don't have to think about it. Anything to try to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
God would bring it back later. It's like, oh, we still got this here. It couldn't do it now. No. You know, running the other way. That's a lot of the healing for me, was running away from it, trying to push it down, trying to throw it away. I can be fine. I can be fine. I can not look at it. And I promise you, I will be okay. I promise you,
right.
I will be okay. And that's probably why it took so long. Instead of him bringing it to me and say, okay, what do we do?
Hmm. Yeah. And yet, even in that, I think he just knows the timing. I still think he's sovereign over the timing. I do.
He's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been eager. I've been more eager. I was like ready to run headlong into this. Once I began to realize all these elements, I was like, I was a bit the opposite. I wanted to run right into this thing. Like, let's get, I want to heal. And it seemed to be that God knew I couldn't handle the pace that I thought I could handle. I just want to, I just wanted to heal. So I want to find the reference, but I was thinking about another verse that I really wrestled through during that time. Maybe you'll remember where it is. But that experience works hope, and hope does not disappoint. And I told God, look, my experience is not working hope. I need some experience that gives me hope. I think that's in the epistles. Looking for it too, but that was something I let God know. I was not happy with. My experience was giving the opposite of hope. I was losing hope. And it's been neat to
Romans 5. Hope does not disappoint.
I think so. She said Romans 5.
Yeah, 5:5. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. No?
Nope, not that one. I thought it was Paul. I thought it was even
5:3. We not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing tribulation works patience, experience, hope maketh not ashamed.
Yes. So what that was what? Romans
5:3.
5:3. Okay, hold on. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think that's it. Because that seems right. Maybe there's a parallel passage. I don't remember, but I experience working hope. And suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Maybe that was a passage. Maybe I have it somewhat confused. I don't remember. But I think that is a biblically consistent thing as well, that our experience works hope. Our experience with God works hope. And it didn't at that point. At that point, it wasn't. But again, God knew that. God knew that I'm not going to see his faithfulness. I mean, you can see his faithfulness, of course, in the days that are easy and good. You can just be so faint. There's just so much to be thankful for, truly, genuinely to be thankful for. But it really is those big deliverances. It's the big, hard things that make us see just how big he is to us. You know, I mean, would none of us like, we don't watch movies or read books about nothing happening. You know, I am very thankful that as awfully epic as what I've been through, as that is epically awful, so is his healing. Like some of the things, there was one situation, just one thing that has just blown me away. There was a ritual I was put through, and discovered it's another ritual that they do. And I ended up meeting another person who had been put through a ritual with the same family. And there's one more person out there that we're praying will meet that other person who's a survivor of that ritual within that family, because there's a pattern to it.
Wow.
There's no reason I should have been able to meet this person. Okay. Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable how God put us together, and we discovered this, that we had both.
It's not dinner conversation.
No. And we'd experienced it years apart. Our healing, our awakening to healing had been years apart. Anyway, it's an ongoing prayer that someday well, we're praying for healing for that other person too, and looking forward to what God does. Someday I'm going to meet that other one.
Yeah.
So those are the things that come on. I mean, I wouldn't have that to say if I hadn't been through the depths that I've been through. And I feel too, like one of the faithfulnesses of God that I experience is that I feel like I'm able to absorb flavor of food with a gratefulness. I've had so many dark days that I didn't want to live, that when I enjoy weather, that's really beautiful. Enjoy a beautiful scene. I feel like I'm able to absorb that. There's been times I couldn't absorb that too, by the way. When I've been in so much pain where I'm numb to it. For me, nature has been very, very healing for me. When I enjoy joy laughter, when I'm laughing with a friend, I probably laugh too hard sometimes for the situation because I'm laughing. Oh my word, I'm laughing. When tears were all I knew for long, long periods of time. And so I think that when we've known such depth of heartache, we have an appreciation. We have a capacity to appreciate that. If you haven't been through some stuff, what kind of comfort can you offer? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have comfort to offer. And so we really are in a precious spot that God's given us when we receive his healing. He gives us an eternal perspective, a bigger perspective, a holier. We're set apart. Holy not being like, go make yourself appear some way. We're set apart. We're like, special, we're treasured. This is something that we put in a special place because it's really, really special. We're set apart, and we have the ear of God. We have his attention. He is really, really concerned about how we're doing today. Really caring that we feel his care. And when he's silent, there's a song I'm really looking forward to publishing. One of my favorites. Talks about God emerging from the shadows and those times that are so silent where we just think that maybe he has forgotten us, maybe we have used up, but then he emerges. So I'm really eager to publish that one. So I won't share more of that one right now, but in those waiting times, and there's some waiting I'm in right now too. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to be faithful? but he's always come through, and I can remember and I can rest that he's going to be faithful. Again, I just love the title of this one. That was Discovering Faithfulness, because I was discovering it and I've just continued to experience it, and I need it for the future. I need that. So I'm praying for your listeners. I know they need encouragement too.
And for every, I have listeners that reach out and they say, I will never be where you are. I will be where the people you interview are. You know, I'm not a victor. I'm not. And what can you say to them?
It's again where I would just be really, really gentle, and maybe try to figure out where that message is coming from, because I think that sometimes that can be a spiritual force speaking to us that we're not worthy, or that other people are more important, and they've got a platform. Don't be fooled by this platform, you know. I think to take moments to tell God very, very honestly, I'm really, really, I just feel like God is maybe wired in me. Part of my role in life is to encourage other people to be honest with God, really raw honest. I don't know if other people struggle like I did, but this is like almost embarrassing, but in Bibles and studies and things, people would love to have me pray. Well, at that point in my life, I had been conditioned to know how to pray and to talk to God. And my prayers have changed so much over time that it's honesty. Why, who's telling us we can't be honest with God? Like we've talked about, I think you and I've talked about a lot. Psalms are so honest. And so, even if you can't find the words, I would really encourage people to not feel that they even have to articulate. Sometimes I'm thinking like Hannah, where, excuse me, where, they thought she was drunk. She was in so much grief, right, that she was accused of being drunk. That is not what God was saying about her. And God was hearing the cries of her heart, right? And I found sometimes that I can't even, when it's so bad, I can't even verbalize it. Don't think that you're not being heard. You know, I would just really encourage people in that spot to be patient, be really patient with themselves because you've been through a lot. So don't minimize what you've been through and don't compare stories. Don't compare stories that, oh, they've been through more. Mm-mm. Whatever you've been through is extremely important and it needs all the attention. Every single wound we have needs 100% attention. And God is willing to do that. I think there does tend to be this different timeline with God that he knows is really, really important. I found sometimes those times that he was silent and I really was sure he'd forgotten. And then I'm really hurting and I'm feeling very, very abandoned by him and reminders of all the things I've been through. Oh, you're okay with me being abused. You think that's all right. You know, some God you are. I mean, that's some of the things I've said to him. I'm not sure some people want me praying at their Bible studies right now because I've gotten so honest. But that's where I found God to be answering my prayers is when I was honest. And it doesn't, if we are in horrible pain and feel that he's abandoned us, we can tell him that I feel like you abandoned me. And he might not even be able to say it. Like I said, it might not even be able to come out of your mouth, and that's okay. But I just really encourage people to give themselves the time and the space and to be honest with God and ask him for what you need. And trust him with what he responds with, because he might know that you might need something else. And even sometimes taking us, I mean, I'm not in a space to talk about what I'm going through right now, but some of the stuff I'm going through is going to scary places. And I mean, I'm like, don't set me up for more, like do that to me. And yet that's not what God's doing through this as I've I'm journeying through it, but I'm finding that he wants to take where I'm so scared that this person is going to be able to do just horrible, horrible damage to me. And I have some reason to feel that way. But what if this time he wants me to see and experience his presence and his helping me stand up against this and to not be blown over by it like I used to be. I'm still stumbling and crying and things, but he's there in that. So yeah, I wish so much encouragement for all your listeners out there, because it's hard. And just know that when we're talking, we're talking now, but there are times we couldn't talk. There's still time. There are current times I'm not up for talking. I'm not even up for telling my friends sometimes what I'm going through. It's so hard. And sometimes they just really can't comprehend what I'm going through. And the things they say back to me, I can tell they don't get it. And that can feel shameful. Like, how many times do I have to tell you this? All right. Do you understand? And I can see they can't comprehend it, but God comprehends it. God is, if we can see Psalm 139, through that he's intimately acquainted with all of our ways, that means he doesn't come looking with a magnifying glass trying to scout out and spot what can I hammer down on them with now. He's coming with intimate love, that he is deeply intimately acquainted with what is causing the suffering and the discouragement. And pray against discouragement as well and ask God for protection and lifting us up. Be the lifter of my head. Do that for me. You said you'd be the lifter of my head. So I need my head lifted because I'm having a hard time keeping on going. Never mind lifting my head. I'm trying to find the grace to keep going, you know? But he's the lifter of our head, and to ask him for that, ask him for exactly what you need, you know?
That's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. He wants to come wherever we are. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just get to the place where you can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, just take a small step to trust him a little more today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take that small step to trust him a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. One more thing too. I was thinking about one of the church situations we were in. And I'm going to go ahead and share a little bit more of this because I think it might help. You referenced the call God put on me with music, and Psalm 40, 1-3. And I had not had a specific call like that in my life. A lot of people had enjoyed my music to that point, you know, this was in, 2012. And I just really wanted God to bless people through me. It was just really my heart cry. But he like put this call on me. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. And this was it. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And I was kind of trembling, like, did you really say that? I need to know that you were saying that to me. And that's another long story. Years of revisiting that. And so it's really interesting. It's a very interesting passage to me now to go back to, because that's really is my story too, that he drew me out of pit of destruction, out of a miry bog of all of this. And he set my feet on a rock, but that process, I mean, there was a lot of process. So he put this call on me. And so we had moved and I was in a church and I really had wanted to share my music. I talked with one of the pastors and he said, we're looking for people like you who write music, and you just go ahead and audition. And I did. And they sent me out of the audition and then wrote me a letter to say they loved me enough to say that I didn't have any musical gift. And so I spent the next many years crying in the back row of that church. Because a lot of my songs were written during that time. A lot of the songs that I've published so far were written during that time. And then they would say on the announcements, we just really need people for our worship team. So if God's giving you a gift, please audition. And I walked out one day just so sick of it. I thought, God did give me a gift, and I'm fully aware I don't fit your groove. I'm fully aware of that. I'm not stupid. I know that I'm different. I was willing to try to adapt and become like them. I wanted to, demonstrated that I was teachable. The reason I share that is that when people, they say, we have this need, but I don't like the way God made you. I don't like the gift he gave you. We really want to look and sound like this, and you don't fit that. So you go, and I don't mean to minimize any of this, but would you please go clean the church, or would you please go watch kids? Because that's what we need, and we don't really need you. And I wasn't the one who came up with that call on my life. And that's a pretty much the epitome of my church experiences. So when people are saying to you, there was something you said off of that I'm wanting to spring off of, but if you feel that you need, that people want you to fit into a groove of healing, well, you need to do this or you need to do that, to feel that freedom to, especially as survivors where we were ordered around, we had no choice. We were put through things to find, it's a wonder any of us even want to know God after that, right? That's a gift if we can even hunger for him at all, because It's messy. It's all messed in together. And that's another thing I could talk about another time, but and I'm trying to connect my thought now with what you had said, but where people want to put you into a place of you need to heal at this time frame, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And to feel that freedom to say, you know, if you're not in your heart, you know, you have to tell, you know, don't tell these people, they don't deserve to even hear it. Shake the dust off your feet. But to step into what God has called you to, or that place of healing to, I hope this makes sense, because I feel like I've kind of gotten myself off on a tangent with this part, but, yeah, just where we're ramrodded into these places, you know, of what of agendas, it's the agendas. And I have over time tested that, watched that, and I see how not of God these agendas are, and what churches want people to do for them. And it has a whole lot more to do with money and notoriety and being a draw for the world, and not hearing the cries of the sheep like us, who, if they were really tuned into God, they would be listening to us. They would be hearing us, and they'd be taking us in, and they would give us a place to be safe. But they're not usually shepherds. They're usually tightly attached, especially to the cash flow from these wolves. So it took me a long time to see that, and a whole lot of wounding and a lot of rejection. Nobody wanting me. So I hope that can take some sting out too for people if they're feeling like they don't matter. I'm like, oh boy, do I identify with that. People don't want this. They just want their K-love, you know? I'm not trying to rip on any of that. I'm not trying to rip on people's expressions. But if you can't hear the cry of the broken sheep, then you're not really in tune with the shepherd. Because the shepherd is caring for the broken. He's going after the one who's been broken. And, you know, that sheep that was lost, I've never really thought about that till this moment. Well, the one that was lost, why were they lost? Would he maybe leave the 99 to go for us who got brutally hurt, usually by the church? Yeah. The wounding's happening there. And so then we can't even have a safe place to heal. So, yeah. And anyway, to have that freedom to hear what he has to say to me, he's the one who put that call in my life. And he's affirmed it through so many other passages and over time, but threw my Bible over that one too. And I'm like, don't taunt me with that. So anyway, a lot of story.
And the church isn't our only option of ministry.
Mm-mm.
Because, mm-mm. You know, I felt like I was supposed to speak and no church would open their door to me. I even went to friends who had churches and they're like, you want to speak in my church? Like with revulsion? Like, yeah, I do.
Want to talk about Jesus and healing? I thought maybe you'd be interested in that.
You had a pastor say, well, you can't hit the congregation with that on a Sunday morning. Like, well, when can you hit them over the head with that? You know? And it just, every door closed. I'm like, Lord, if you're giving me things to say, where am I supposed to say them?
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, I've got a podcast. I'm like, oh, I guess.
And I'm so thankful to find you, because I can't find this kind of comfort or encouragement in the church.
I know, because it's not there. I mean, there's some churches out there, but they're very hard to find. And if you have one, God bless you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy for you, but not been able to in my world.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so good at horror stories of churches. And that's all I hear from people is the horror stories from churches. And, you know, churches that better, you know, in this shaking of the Luciferian kingdom.
Yes.
God wants to shake them out of the churches, but the churches have to allow them to be shaken out.
Mm-hmm.
And if the churches will not allow the Luciferians to be shaken out, they're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way they respond to the broken tells us everything about what they know about Jesus.
Yeah.
One more encouragement to people who are really struggling with themselves. This is really, really hard to do. And I actually really struggle with it. I found that I don't, it's only been the last couple of years that I could actually look in the mirror. Oh, it might sound funny, but I couldn't. And if I look in the mirror, it's to make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be. And that goes a lot to my background where I always had to be perfect. But definitely couldn't look myself in the eye. And when I did, I just want to hide. It's just shame. And, part of what I began to do was receive that, wait a minute, if I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, how can I tell other people? I love telling people that they're beautiful because I see God's handiwork in people and I love telling them that. Well, how are they supposed to receive that from me if I won't receive that from God? That my life matters and this is just a tent. But what I am, what he made me, he looks on me with delight. I could not fathom that for a very, very long time. I had the complete opposite. Okay. I just don't even want to talk about it. It's so bad. But to look, if we can gingerly, tenderly look in the mirror and look and say, I am precious.
Yeah.
I'm just about to put out a song. And I'm really close to having one more to put out. I am precious. I am priceless. Well, there are two of the phrases in there. I could not have said that a couple years ago. I felt like trash. I felt worthless. And I used to tell myself that. And that's what I'm not proud of. But that was the messages I was getting. And it was just horrible. But if we can look at ourselves and allow ourselves to feel his care. And can you imagine I just want to speak a blessing over your listeners, just a blessing. Bless them. Lord, would you bless them and keep them? Would you lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace? Would you show them the next step? Would you give them hope? Would you lighten their darkness? Let them know their worth, Lord.
Yes.
He can do that. He can do that. I'm receiving it today too. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the conversation. So thankful.
Can we go out with the shaking the Luciferian kingdom prayer?
Yeah, do that.
From where we are seated in Christ Jesus.
From where we are seated in Christ Jesus.
At the right hand of the Father.
The right hand of the Father.
Lord God Almighty says,
the Lord God Almighty says,
the time has come.
The time has come
for the Luciferian kingdom to be shaken.
For the Luciferian kingdom to be shaken.
We decree.
We decree
that the great shaking,
the great shaking
of all who worship Lucifer begin.
All who worship Lucifer begin.
Your sorceries and sacrifices.
Your sorceries and sacrifices
will not help you.
Will not help you.
Your protection is removed.
Your protection is removed.
Let the shaking of the Luciferian kingdom increase.
The shaking of the Luciferian kingdom increase.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
I love going out with that.
Yeah, I do.
What? Yeah. Oh, God's moving.
Yes, he is.
Our faithful God is moving against mm-hmm. our enemy
mm-hmm.
because it matters what he did to us.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Thank you for bringing his faithfulness into our conversation today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the space. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it so much.
So go by, please, Cardia's song on Spotify, Piano Festo. And you can also find her at Cardia Joy on YouTube. And go subscribe, listen to her songs there, and bless her as she's blessing us. So thank you, Cardia.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks.
Why do I dare to think this thought of him by whom my soul is bought? My Father gives no stones for bread or snake for fish, so I then dread. I dread because I don't know you. It's not because your words aren't true. I fear because I've trusted lies, and the lies, they seem so wise. But fools will follow their own way. The wise will live by what you say. I'll trust and walk by faith towards you, and know that you will lead me through.